813 Charlie Charlie India monitoring.
On the TV, and I've seen it talked about two places, but I don't get alerts. You get them on your phone?
I have a Google Nest. What the hell is that thing called? Like the little 7-inch screen with a speaker. So I think it's a Google Nest, right? But every time I walk by the thing, it's got the air quality thing, and it's red.
Oh, yeah, I got one of those. Kind of like the show, the Alexa show, their version. That's the one I use bedside, mainly because, you know, they don't lock you down in the Amazon ecosystem, so if I wanted to watch a YouTube video on it, I could. But other than that, pretty much all I use for is turn the lights on and off, voice command.
So mine exists. It's in the kitchen. I use it to turn the lights on and off, turn the TV on and off when the kids aren't listening, and I can't find the remote. And, it'll pull up cameras, too. I can tell it to pull up, X, Y, and Z camera, or when the doorbell detect someone, it'll turn on automatically. So, nice little gadget. But yeah, lately I've been walking by it, and it's the AQI is up there, and it's like, I don't know, what is it, 129 to 150.
All right, so now I'm intrigued. What kind of cameras do you have? And what did you have to do to get that doorbell thing to work? Because I've got RioLink, and I can bring up the cameras, but it's always been, I've never gotten to do anything interesting like that.
So, I too have RioLink cameras, and in the Google app, there's, I'd have to look at it, fumble through it, because it took me a bit to find. But there's a way where you add a service, I think it's called, and it's called Works with Google Home. And then you can find the RioLink app and you log in. It's kind of straightforward, but I think there might be something you got to do on the RioLink end too. But they kind of walk you through it. So I can say, you know, hey Google, turn on, oh shit, my Google's going off. Turn on front door or front yard camera, and it'll pull it up on that little screen. And then there's a setting for the doorbell, either on the doorbell or in the nest, where if it detects a person or a package, it'll pull it up. Or no, I'm sorry. If the doorbell rings, it's only if the doorbell rings will it pull it up on there.
Ah, okay. It'd be nice if you could do a motion sensor thing. I would imagine you could. It'd just be a matter of figuring out what you need to sense it and trigger it. But, yeah, somebody, you know, and then you'd have to really fiddle with the sensor. Because, you know, mine looks out on the road, and, you know, a car going by could easily confuse it, so you'd have to set up a trigger box or something like that.
That's what I did with my front yard camera, because it's, 180 degrees? So it was picking up cars going by on the road, so I painted a, no alert zone, no trigger zone or something, where you just kind of like use your finger and draw an area.
Right. Well, I'm going to have to look into it again, because I've got, I wouldn't mind having the front one if somebody's there, have it pop up, or even have some specific triggers on the other cameras. Like, it's pretty good at noticing what a car is and what a person is and what a critter is. So I imagine that would be pretty fuzzy, though. But if it can detect a person really well, wouldn't mind getting an alert if it had a, like, let's say there was a person showed up on your yard camera.
Right, like the type of alert triggers the screen turning on. I feel like we talked about these cameras not too long ago, right? These are fairly new then?
Yeah, I probably had them a couple of years now. But, yeah, we were talking all about them. Started off with doorbell cameras, and then they kind of progressed to more cameras, and I kind of went bananas and got the RioLink server and all the RioLink cameras and RioLink, and all my stuff's wired, PoE stuff. So anyhow, yeah, we did. We had quite a discussion about it, but it's probably been a couple of years.
That's right. You got the good PoE stuff. Mine's all wireless because I got lazy, but I'm super happy with them. I haven't had really any issues yet other than in the wintertime. My solars do not like to charge. They're pretty picky. But, yeah, anytime someone asks what cameras should I get, I always recommend RioLink. I've been super happy with them. The app's decent enough. And then kind of like what you did, I don't have a NVR, but I have it's called the Hub. So I can run 8 cameras that record and connect directly to a Hub wirelessly or over the Internet via LAN. And that lives in my network cabinet, so all in all, I'm happy with them. Super disappointed in my Google Nest doorbell, though, which I'm pretty sure we beat that bad horse to death.
Yeah, I picked the RioLink. I think mostly on, you know, I didn't see anybody complaining about them, and, you know, and they're all over Amazon, you know, in running sales all the time and stuff like that, and they're priced reasonably, so it just, and they had a really wide selection. In fact, I think the first one I bought was a four-camera NVR, you know, package. And then I got the thing, and I didn't even attempt to hook it up. By that time, I had found out that those cameras aren't as good as their regular cameras. They were fixed, and they were kind of proprietary, you know, whereas, you know, they were very specifically, they would only work with that particular NVR. I don't know, it's just there was, I didn't even unbox that thing or send it back, and I got their real NVR with the real camera. So you got to watch, because they sell a real bargain package. And it, you know, and if that's what you need, you know, four cameras, four fixed focal length cameras, and a little NVR to just cover something, you know, you can't hardly beat it. But I don't remember what it was. You can't add to that because those aren't the standard cameras, or I don't know. But there was something about it that it said, yeah, send that one back.
I wish I had known about Reolink sooner. I put 12 Lorex cameras on my parents' house, and then I put 14 on their neighbors. And they're all right, but the app and the NVR interface are nothing compared to Reolink.
Holy cow, that's a lot of cameras. What the hell are you covering?
Well, they've each got 2 acres. They've each got detached garages. They've got tons of blind spots, so, and they're good-sized houses. So it was a project. It took me, I don't know, 2 weekends to do both houses.
You know, the one thing I think about is, you know, at night you run the cameras infrared, but you realize from the air a helicopter with infrared, you probably stand out like a nuclear explosion in the middle of, you know, with a bunch of cameras all running infrared.
Oh, for sure. From the air, it takes nothing for that the infrared to get picked up.
Yep. I'd like to add a couple more. I've got two of mine are pan tilt zoom, you know, on the southeast corner and the northwest corner. So I can pretty much, you know, and they'll follow, you know, something. I found that of limited use. I thought that would be more useful than it was, but I found that of limited use. And in fact, I think I've turned it off. And the only time I ever used a pan tilt zoom is on the southeast one when, like, I got a critter in the air and I want to zoom in on it, something like that. But I could definitely use a couple more fixed ones to cover some blind spots. I'm going to wait till I get my garage finished, figure out what all, you know, what couple I might want to add.
In my opinion, you can never have too many. If you need it, if you have it, why not? I want to put one on the pole in my front yard facing my house, but I don't know if my Wi-Fi will get out there, so then I got to add an access point facing the front road, and then that's a whole other thing. But, yeah, I'd rather see more than see less, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's a big one. Having the ones out at the edge looking in, those are great. And, yeah, but you're right. You got to find a way to get the Wi-Fi out to them or whatever. But yeah, I'd love to have a couple looking in from out.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been that hard had I thought about it when Spectrum was out there burying cable. I could have just gave them some of the underground that I have and said run this with it, and then I'd have been done because it comes in the same exact spot. But oh well, I didn't plan that far ahead.
Well, I'm not beyond me to actually trench a cable out there. So, it's a lot of work, but I don't know. It depends on where. The place I'd really like to have one, there's really nothing to put it on. So they got a walnut tree that I guess would work somewhat. Depends on the camera, I suppose. I could get out to that one. Hell, I could get out to that one with almost no... I got one spot where I got to worry about getting over or under. But I could run a fence line out to it otherwise.
I'm still trying to sell my wife on letting me cut out some drywall in the master bedroom so I can run a piece of conduit up from my network cabinet so I can get into the attic easier. So then if I can do that, all bets are off. There's going to be crap everywhere.
Well, I mean, no big deal. As long as you patch it up and then get a nice new remodel, a nice new paint job in the bedroom. You can tell her, hey honey, we need to, you know, liven this up. We're going to do this with it. And then while I'm at it.
I tried that. She's not buying it since the house was finished last year. So she's happy with the color schemes.
Well, there's not much you can do about that. But I suppose as long as you make it like it never happened, how can she complain? Does she doubt that that'll happen?
She's my drywall, mud, and painter, so it would kind of fall in her court because she doesn't trust me to do it good. So I don't blame her, but it'll probably just end up happening on a day she's not home.
You can't just, you have to have the conduit. You can't just give yourself some access from below and then just be in behind the wall.
Well, what I was thinking is I would go find an interior wall to go up in instead of an exterior wall, and it'd be drastically easier, but I think code is there's fire studs in them, so I'd have to figure out how to get through all that. It's a big pain, and the builder ran coax throughout the whole damn house, but not a single Ethernet cable. Because if he had done that, then it would have been no big deal. I could have just piggybacked or cut those upstairs in the attic and moved it, whatever, but now I'm kind of screwed.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, we wanted coax ran throughout our houses for years, and they never did. Only the rarest of cases, you know, it got done. Not rarest, but it's just been not that often. And then when they start doing it, nobody wants coax anymore. They want Ethernet, and you know, a lot of people don't even want that. But yeah. If I was building houses, I wouldn't put any of that in, but I would just make sure I put in really good access pipes between floors, knowing that people are going to wire something, you know? And if they don't, what does it hurt?
Exactly. Like, just like Dave's new house. He's got, like, wire, I don't know what the hell they call them. It's like a built-in box, basically, like a junction box for low voltage. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, those have conduit between the floors, so it's perfect. You can do whatever you want. Literally just need a fish tape. Meanwhile, mine, he stapled all the coax, because I'm assuming it was done when it was rough. And I already cut it all trying to pull through with it, and it didn't happen. So now I got a bunch of dead coax jacks, which were never going to get used anyway, but... Still, it'd be cool if they were Ethernet.
I remember when they were pouring my driveway, I had it, they trenched it, and I put in three conduit tubes out there. So between my house and my garage, I've got these tubes, and I can pull anything. I've got electric running in one of the larger ones, and gas running in the other. Then the small one is for low voltage crap like that. In fact, I think I had coax running through it when I had a dish TV that was out toward the back. Came into the back of my garage, across my garage, then went down underneath the driveway up and had a house, fed my TVs. So that worked out Charlie, can I pass McDonald's? Man, I was going to stop at Mickey D's this morning. I'm still way ahead of schedule. Let's see, where am I going?
That's 100% the way to do it, and whenever we put an outbuilding on our property, we're going to do the same thing. I'm going to trench probably a piece of 2-inch and a piece of friggin' 3-inch. That way I can run whatever I want out there. And I know, I didn't eat at all yesterday, so I'm a little hangry. I think I'm pulling up to your Starbucks right here, if it's the one by Home Depot. I got to run in there. When I was raking the yard, I broke the 4-inch clean-out pipe for my freaking septic field, so I got to go buy some 4-inch PVC, a coupler, and a new cap.
Well, that stinks, literally. Oh, well. Hopefully it's not a messy job.
No, thankfully when I dug it up yesterday, it was only about 12 to 16 inches down and dry. No fluids, no smells. So it's already all exposed. The sand's right next to it. So all I got to do is glue this new piece on after I clean up the edge and then bury it. So I am here. I'm going to run in and grab my supplies and then be back out here in a bit, but I'm assuming you'll be at work. So if I don't catch you, have a good day, and maybe I'll catch you this afternoon. And if I do, I'll talk to you in a bit. N8BBF, I'll be clear for yours.
All righty, have fun. We'll catch you somewhere along the way. W8FU. Morning, Thomas the Tank Engine.
Choo-choo. Good morning. Off to, where am I going today? Oh, Ann Arbor, then back to Little Caesars Arena.
Well, there you go. I think I told you I talked to Eakin, right?
Yeah, he lives over by your KTH now from, he moved down from up north.
Right. So, we're just, we'll try to coordinate something. Yeah, that's right. We talked about having a whole table of you suckers. Who else can we get? Anybody else?
Yeah, I'll ask my coworker Brad. I mean, he knew Steve Eakin and John Little. You know, he's only like a couple years behind me in regards to seniority. So, yeah, I'll spread the word around once we figure out a date.
It's funny how many of you guys I've known over the years. I think it's just there's something about, Eakin's not involved. Eakin I met through darts, but I guess it doesn't surprise me you guys getting a ham radio.
I didn't know John was a ham until after I got my license, and that was 98. And then we started talking about it. So I learned a lot from John Little.
Well, there you go. So, all right. Yeah, that's right. I'm remembering. We did talk about this yesterday, so don't need to beat the dead horse. I got up early today, and then I blew right past all the breakfast places. So I had to pass and go up to Tim Hortons. So I got my Timmy Hose, and I can see work out there ahead of me.
Antenna in the sky.
I can see the Hackle Hilton turning in there now.
Yeah, I got up about 6 o'clock, which is rare. Usually I'm up a little bit later. I'm actually out the door before my coworker. He's 5 minutes behind me. He was packing his lunch. So I'll say 72 in your finals. I know you got to get in there. TCKGO.
Yep, I'm just running alongside the jail. Got a few seconds to go here. Yeah, I don't normally hear you out this early, so look at you go. Boy, they're coming along quick on this edition. Seems going up fast. Of course, it's just structural steel at this point, so I'm sure there's a lot of work to do putting up the walls and finishing the interior. Okay, in the parking lot, going to find a spot and start my day. Be safe, W8FU.
W8BD, you guys be good. You guys better worry about the apocalypse. Both KCH, KJO, and W8BD are moving before 7:30.
Hi, Wally. Bye, Wally. Catch you in a few when I get inside and settled. W8FU.
And I gotta take a trip down to Hell, Michigan there, Wally. See if it froze over.
Something's frozen over.
Yeah, but you're out early for a vacation escapade. I'm out early just to try to get to Ann Arbor by 9.
Oh, that's a little bit. I got a meeting, and I'm going in here to get some donuts. I was in charge of breakfast today, and I found that out yesterday at about 5:30, so I'll come back and talk to you a little bit. I'm going to go from the donut place to the office.
Got
to
go.
Copy that.
I got to get gas.
Wally HVD, back on.
So am I.
Yep, now I'm heading to the office. Today was donut day, so I was the man in charge of getting the donuts. High responsibility at my office I have.
I know, such a travesty. Hey, Joe. Something's going on in Richmond that the siren's going off.
Yeah, they're still from the old school, some sort of fire. So, my hometown of Wop Wop, Michigan, does the same thing. It has to do with tradition.
I know they set it off at noon every day. But why is it going off this early?
The smaller communities, i.e. like Papa, where I come from, it's something they did back in the 1950s before all the radios and all the other stuff. They used to blow the siren to let the volunteers know that there was a fire in town. And a lot of fire departments, when you get out of, you know, the five southeast counties, still do that till this day. It's a very common practice in rural Michigan. It's calling all the volunteers or paid on calls.
Oh, yeah, I'm well aware of the practice and the tradition, but it's normally at noon, you know, they do it. Why would they be, why are they doing it now? It's not even on the half hour. Is there something going? There might be actually something going on.
No, it's just a fire. They do it when there's a fire.
Oh, okay. Well, in my book, that's something's going on. Okay, that explains it.
Got a movie into rural America for a couple of years, Sean. I often say the, you know, because I grew up over there, and I often say that there's the four or five counties over here, then there's the rest of the state, and they might as well be two different states. It's like worlds apart of the thinking, the mentality, everything else. Don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with it. I'm not hammering on either end. It's just, I think it just has to do with population and everything else like that. The joke was, when we lived over there, was like, why vote? It didn't matter because, you know, one county over here could kill the whole state, you know, as far as the amount of people.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, for Memphis, it goes off at noon every day, and I think it does so in Richmond also. And then it's just for the farmers to know that it's high noon.
Yeah, New Baltimore is noon and 6 p.m.
Yeah, like I said, Memphis only does it once a day, except for starting at 5 o'clock and 8 o'clock, something like that. Jelly-filled Wally.
Which way did he go? Which way did he go?
Did he hit the button again? KCDKG.
This is K. P, repeater. A-H-R-P-T, repeater. And it is 8 a.m.
Hey, B-A-Y.
Welcome to K-8-R-P-T repeater system.
Good morning.
Is there a band opening or are we linked up to something else? Casey has a Z2.
I was wondering the same thing. That was a little weird. Usually, repeater announcements don't go through the All-Star Network.
Yeah, strange. I don't know. I heard that earlier, too.
I got caught off, so I didn't hear what the full call sign was. It was like, hey, something, right? unless Fred's playing with something, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I know lately I've been seeing a lot of long-distance stuff on APRS over 300 miles away, too.
Time of the year when you start getting those inversions in the morning.
I've been playing around with that LoRa, and once in a while I get signals pretty far away, just one or two hops. Band will open, seems like about 5:30 in the morning for a split second.
Doing mesh-tastic or whatever. There's, it looks interesting, but there's nothing around me.
Yeah, there's really no practical use for it right now, unless more people get involved in it.
Yeah, I've been putting nodes up on computer sites, but kind of... It's too far between for me. I'm like right dead in the middle of between Flint and Frankenmuth.
Yeah, the Flint has pretty good coverage. I wonder if they have a private talk group for that CMN network. I've been trying to figure it out because I send messages and they go through, but nobody comes back.
Not that I'm aware of, but I haven't been involved in it, so couldn't tell you. But I know the Flint site has one, but I know Fred does that stuff, but that's kind of the issue with Meshtastic is you need mesh to in order to contact anybody.
All right, I'm about 5 minutes away from work here, so I'll be back later on today, maybe. Catch you later on KCDZ2.
Yeah, I got 46 minutes to work, so that's a good deal.
This is K-8-R-P-T, repeater.
This is the K-8-R-P-T repeater. K-8-R-P-T repeater. The time is 9 a.m. This is K-8-R-P-T repeater. This is the K-8-R-P-T repeater.
Why in the hell are we hearing tail messages?
W8RJD. Hey Ryan, I heard you off there, KF8S. I can't talk though, so I'm just waving hello. I'm on my way to a meeting. KF8S.
Hey Dave, have a good meeting. Thanks for coming back to me, 73W8RJD.
This is the K8RPT repeater.
W8PH repeater. Why are you broadcasting IDs over the network?
This is the K-8-R-P-T repeater.
What was that? It'd be clear.
An uncoordinated repeater belonging to W8PH broadcasting its incorrect ID down from South Rockwood.
Okay, how's that on the network?
Now that's a pretty good question. KF8DVZ, I forgot about that first time around. Apparently it's also an all-star node. I've been looking into it.
Okay, yeah, shouldn't be sending its ID over, that's for sure. All right, just curious, AAB up here.
Yeah, copy that. KF8DPZ.
This is K-8-P-T repeater.
W-8-P-H. W-8-P-H from W-8-F-U. W-8-P-H. W-8-P-H, last call from W-8-F-U. Yeah, W8PH, I saw you key up. You there? This is W8FU. Name here, Sean. All right, well, I know you're there and listening because I saw you key up, but this is the last chance, and you're going to get booted, and, you know, we won't take you to a band, but I'd like to talk to you about how you can resolve things. W8PH from W8FU. All righty, give him the boot. W8FU.
WAGD Mobile.
Good day to bike ride from Freedom Hill to Metro Beach.
Roger, Dodger. Meet you there.
You gonna pedal or you gonna e-bike it?
Now I got a pedal bike. How many miles is that?
Remember, it's a few. It's a good run. But I always used to take note of the wind direction because I always started at Freedom Hill, run out to the point at Metro Beach, and then run back. But the wind is almost always out of the west, so you'd be with the wind on the way out, then you'd have to battle the wind on the way back, which sucks. But on days like today, where the wind's coming out of the east, which is pretty rare. It's a good day to do that run because you can run into the wind on the way out and then have the wind at your back on the way home when you're less fresh.
Yeah, I'll have to measure that. I don't want to go too crazy. I'm just, you know, starting to ride the bike again, so you know, hopefully it's, I'll check out my map and take a look. I think it's under 10 miles each way.
That's probably pretty good ballparky figure, but I wouldn't come down here. First of all, it's not well-groomed. Well, I shouldn't say groomed, but it's the asphalt has heaved in a lot of places, and there's sections of it that are quite jarring, and I don't think that would be good for you at this particular point. If I were you, I'd, you know, just a mile from your house, you can be on the river bends, and river bends be much better. It's well groomed, and except in the fall, you gotta watch the leaves, but you don't gotta worry about that for a while. Nah, I just stay on river bends, or if you got real daring, you could go the other direction and cross over at Jimmy John's, go through the tunnel and bridge, and. Do Dodge Park, but and River Bend is probably easier. You know that, though.
Yep. WATAP. Yeah, and then there's a couple of pretty steep hills there at River Bend, so I think there's two or three areas where it's a pretty steep incline or decline on the way back.
Well, if you stay away from that one that gets you to the DeQuinner, you know, where the soccer fields and all that are, the baseball diamonds, if you stay away from that one, it's not terrible, but, you know, there's still a little work, especially for the recovery that you're doing right now, so you'd have to be careful about that.
Well, just about every night now that it's been, you know, not raining, we go from my place into River Bend, take a couple laps around River Bend, and come back through the neighborhood. It's about 6.5 miles. About 6.5 miles.
Yeah, I suppose that's good for you. So when's the back to work date? Have you set one yet?
I'll have to look at the calendar, but if all things, if everything goes well, which they're not at the moment, whatever the Monday is after the 5th, I'll have to look at a calendar, sometime between the 5th and the 10th of September, so a little more than a month.
Well, I'll tell you, the one thing that sucks about being off with an injury is, yeah, everybody says, oh man, it must have been nice to have the summer off. No, it sucked. I couldn't do anything. Even the stuff that I would do when I was, you know, working. I could pack up, go up north, do this, do that. Sounds like you're getting back to a little bit of it, so at least you'll be able to enjoy a little bit. Takes time, though. Gotta get them legs working again.
Well, the hip is fine, it's just the back is giving me problems, and it's keeping me up at night, not sleeping very good, and so I'm getting some steroid injections next week, and we'll see if that helps. But I can do everything except for walk long distances. I can drive a car. Go to work half asleep either.
You got a little flaky there on that last one. Started to fade. I don't know if your battery's going down or you're moving or listing or something. Who knows? But well, soon enough.
This should be better right here. Switched radios. I said that the back is needs back surgery or at least some steroid injection. I'm getting that next week. We'll see how that goes. But the hip is pretty much healed. I have no sensation of my hip ever being replaced. It just feels good.
Well, I guess that's good. Can't beat that. So are you still off work because of the hip, or are you off work because of the back now?
Well, they want me off work for 3 months for the hip surgery. Like I said, that day is the 4th or 5th of September is that period. But then I think I had the first week of September off planned as a vacation, so that puts me at the 10th. If everything goes good, 10th is my start back up date.
Rightio. Well, hopefully you can get the back under control. Have they talked about any surgery on that? Mine has been, knock on wood, it's been pretty good the last several months. It was really giving me some crap. I don't know if it was earlier this year or late last year, but just couldn't seem to
just couldn't seem to get past it. But I, knock on wood, I haven't had any problems in the last several months.
Well, like you said, they're going to try some steroid injections. It seemed to help me. I got some last year, or not last year, what are they, I don't know, a couple months before I had my hip surgery, they gave me that, and it seemed to work. So they're going to try that and see what happens. But if I do need back surgery, it would behoove me to get it done this year because I'm already maxed out on my out-of-pocket for the year. So if I wait till next year, that'll be another, you know, that'll be another $8,000 or whatever out of pocket. So I want to take care of everything this year if I can.
Well, that sounds like a good plan if you can work it out. So get everything fixed. Go ahead, Tom.
I 100% agree with that, Eric, and, you know, with Sean, is if you're maxed out, then it's all going to be covered. So if you can do it, do it. You'll be off for a little bit more, but at least the expenses will be less.
Yep, well, I'm trying to avoid the back surgery because it'll be a very complicated one and only a 50-50 chance that it might be better, so I'm hoping that, I've had sciatica issues for the last 25 years, and it'll be there for 6 months or so, and then it'll disappear for several years. So I'm hoping that maybe a couple steroid shots, it'll disappear for a few more years, and I'll deal with it after I'm retired. So that's the plan. You know, get a couple of shots, and if that don't work, then I got to plan a surgery before the end of the year. So I'm hoping that the shots will work.
Okay, on that aspect, then I would wait. Try the shots. You know, I did that. I did all the therapy for my shoulder and my neck, and, well, that didn't work out too well. Sorry, Sean, if I stepped on you, go ahead.
No, I was dealing with a road rager. Not at me, but they were road raging on somebody in the next lane over, and it was starting to spill over into my lane. So just on high alert.
Yeah, don't you notice that when the weather gets warm and the sun comes out, the stupidity increases triple?
Seems like the warmer the climate, the more angry the solutions to things are. You get into, I think it's because you have to be more cooperative in the harsher climates.
It's that smoke, man. It's that wildfire smoke. I know my eyes have been burning. It's starting to irritate my eyes a little bit. Anyhow, Sean, that was a pretty good guess. A little over 9 miles, depending on where you end at. It could be anywhere from 9 to 9.5 miles. So that was a pretty good guess.
Is that right out to the point?
Yeah, I'm looking at about 9.5 miles all the way out to the end, right to the lake there, about 9.5.
There you go. Yeah, it's a good run. If you've got larger tires and you can run a little less juice in them, you know, to accommodate the washboard asphalt that is problematic, particularly when you get over by the Clinton River and that that stretch from, let's just say, from Gratiot out. There's some stretches along there that are pretty jarring, pretty annoying. Anyhow, I'm at my stop, and I got to get inside and check out the brand new fire station. 2-2.
Well, that sounds like fun. On the other side, also going to introduce Sean, and then Eric, how's the healing process going there?
W8BAP. Well, from what I can tell, the healing is pretty much, well, I don't know if it's complete internally, but there's no pain or anything, and like I said, I've been riding my bicycle about 6 miles every night, no problem. Like I said, it's just when I lay down at night to fall asleep, I wake up, you know, in pain from the sciatica. So, but the hip seems to be doing good. The scar is almost completely healed. I mean, it's been 8 weeks or 9 weeks. No, it's been a little over 8 weeks. So I got it on June 4th, and now it's August 7th. So it's been a little over 8 weeks, and it's I think it's going good. I mean, like I said, I can't feel anything, so it feels just normal. I don't feel like I have to baby it anymore.
When did they say you can go back to work?
Well, the standard is 3 months, so unless the back issue is keeping me back, no pun intended, should be like the first week in September, sometime in the first week of September. I know I had the first week of September already planned off, so I know I'm going up north. Like I said, I'm fine as long as I don't have to walk. The only thing that hurts is if I walk more than about 50 yards, it starts to get really bad. So as long as I just, you know, I can walk from like my car into a restaurant, or, you know, walk down a block, turn around, come back, I can do that, but I can't walk any long distances. But other than that, I've been trying to get back to my normal situation.
Yeah, take it easy. Don't overdo it. I'm going to say that much because my coworker, who's on GMRS right now, he snapped his tibia and he's got rods and pins and stuff. He was off work for 3 months, but he was in the hospital for almost a month because he couldn't walk. He had to learn how to walk all over again.
Yeah. Well, when I got my surgery, they said, you know, your brain isn't going to know where your leg is. There's some nerves in there that are disconnected. Your brain isn't going to, you might be, it's like I walked perfectly from day one. As soon as I woke up from the operation, they had me walking and climbing stairs, and I was walking, you know, short distances around the house every single day, and I had absolutely no balance issue or anything. It was just kind of numb. Leg was kind of numb for the first couple days, and about the third day, and oh my God, that's when all the pain came back. So, like day 3 to day 10 was bad, but after that, it started to go away, and it never did hurt me to walk, or I never had any problem with balancing or anything from day 1 after the surgery.
That's a good thing. That's good to hear. So he must be a fast healer. So, you know, like I said, it's just pain easy. You don't want anything else to go wrong with it.
Yeah, what really I was afraid of was, you know, I waited till like the 6th week before I started riding a bicycle. I called my surgeon. He goes, oh, no, you could have rode your bike at 4 weeks. Just take it easy. But the problem is, the way I get on the bike, I put my left foot down, and then I put all my weight, or I step up onto the pedal with my left foot, and I put my entire weight of my body on that left side, and then swing my leg over. And I was thinking that would hurt or be, you know, in danger, you know. He goes, no, go ahead. Don't worry about it. So, like I said, when I get on my bike, put my left leg on the pedal and put all my weight on it, lift my leg over the seat, and, no problem. So I was really apprehensive to do that at first.
Yeah, when I had my shoulder surgery, they said, you need 6 weeks off. I go, that ain't going to happen. I'll give you 4. And I did. I went back after 4 weeks. you know, was on light duty, and then after about 8 weeks, I could go back to regular. It kind of got stronger and stronger, and now it feels like never, you know, nothing ever happened. My neck, different story, you know. I took 4 weeks off of that, came back, had to wear the brace, had jobs, but I could take it off when I drive. After a while, that all ended. Now, the only thing I have that I'm limited to is I can't hold my phone against my shoulder anymore because my neck doesn't turn that or bend that way. KACAKJO for ID.
You know, I can do that. I can hold my phone against my shoulder between my neck, but it hurts. I mean, I did that for a long time, and now I can do it, but it's not very comfortable.
Well, the only reason why I had neck surgery is because it was affecting my ability to work and do certain things. I lost dexterity. I was dropping things, and if I'm soldering a set of wires or something, and I drop a hot soldering gun, it's butane, so I could catch things on fire. I was dropping glasses, dishes. I couldn't hold them. You know, it's just, I had no grip. So, they said, oh, yeah, you got 2 discs missing. So, I'm like, fine, let's do it. Instead of doing one surgery 1 year and the other surgery the second year, I opted to have both done. 2 artificial discs and the plate and the screws. So, I'm all done with that. And it didn't hurt one bit.
One thing I noticed as I get older, and I don't think it's me getting older, it's because I'm relying on that stupid, I shouldn't call it stupid, but you rely on your backup camera. Before, I used to, like, crank my head all the way around to look behind me. Now I just stare at that camera. And now when I have to, like, when I don't have a, if I'm in a vehicle that doesn't have a camera, my neck doesn't want to turn around like it used to. And I don't know if that's because I'm getting older or just because for so many years, it's been probably 10, 12 years now, I don't have to because I always just look at the backup camera. So backup cameras are a good thing, but it makes your neck stiff.
I have a backup camera, but I don't use it as my primary. I still use my side view mirrors. Get lined up between the lines, and the only reason I use the backup camera is so I don't hit a post or something behind me that I can't see because I don't have a rear view mirror or anything in my van. So that's all I use it for, is make sure I'm not hitting a wall or whatever else. Besides that, I back up using my mirrors 98% of the time.
Yeah, I'm talking mainly when I'm riding the side-by-side. I do have a rear view mirror on the side by side, but it's only like a wide angle one. It's made to like see behind you, like vehicles coming up behind you. It's not that good for like actually seeing right directly behind the vehicle. But snowmobiling, you don't really have to turn your head that much. You don't go in reverse that much, but I think I use my backup camera about 75% of the time. There's some times that I just want to physically turn my head around and look. There's some situations. So, yep. So, not my head ain't like an owl like it used to be.
Hold on, Eric. I'll be right back. Yeah, I tell my coworker. He's on the other radio. KACAKJO.
I'm the same way, and I don't know if it's because I've relied on a camera for so long now or just getting older.
Good afternoon, Greg. Thanks for agreeing with me. I didn't want to think I was the only one. And it's true with a lot of things. There's certain things that your body just doesn't do as well when you get older, but a lot of it is that you just don't do all the same things you used to do, you know, when you're young. So part of it is inactivity, and the other part of it is just naturally getting old, but it's hard to tell which is which.
Yep, I concur. I can no longer run a marathon every single day, do 100 burpees or push-ups. I don't know what's up with that.
WATAP. Yeah, and I've noticed that I can't pound down 6 slices of Jets. I could only pound down 5 slices of Jets, so my pizza eating is still good, but not quite. But that again, you know, when you're young, you don't have a license, so you walk, you jog, and you ride your bike everywhere. So, like I said, you know, it's compounding. Each one compounds. Not doing the activity anymore, and then getting older, and then it's like once you get to a certain age, you just can't do it anymore, regardless of how much you do it. But I'm building up my bicycle riding again. Like I said, I do about 6 miles every night. So my bicycle riding is getting up, and I'm not quite as fast as my average speed. I track my average speed. My average speed is a little bit lower than it used to be when I used to do my 6-mile run. But I blame that stupid Canadian wildfire smoke because, I don't know, if you're outside in the wind, your eyes start to burn a little bit.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're doing that and are able to do that. And you always knew that was the best thing for your situation. So, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that smoke is not helping things. Some people are more sensitive than others. But if you, number one, if you spend a lot of time outside, it'll affect you. The minimal amount that I'm outside, it doesn't really bother me. And then if you, like you're doing with the bike, that will definitely increase its effect on you. So, KE8 BSI.
Well, I could take a look out my window and see. I look at the trees in the distance. There's trees about a quarter mile away. If they look like they're smoky, I know that we still have pollution. It's down. It's down from what it was. If you look at the pollution map, you know, I'm no longer getting the air quality alerts on my Amazon device today like I've been getting, so it's a little bit better today. Like Rochester was really bad. It was like 102 in the red area yesterday, and now it's down to like 66. So it's still up there. It's right at the edge between safe and moderate. It's not quite in the green area, but we're in the yellow, but it's almost green. It's supposed to be green later on today if you look at those air quality things.
Yeah, I check the smoke map once in a while just to see where it's at, and sometimes you can see it, and I'm glad it's going away. I'm over it. So we can imagine the people that are in the in the area of all that, that's got to be just terrible.
Well, I've been reading up on it a little bit, and they said that 90% of the fires are human-caused, and a portion of that is arson. They've caught 3 or 4 people setting fires. I don't know. You're never going to get the straight answer, but they're saying lightning this, lightning that, climate change, but they say 90% is, you can look that up. One of my fun facts, you could look up, that 90% of those fires in Canada were human-caused, which doesn't mean necessarily arson. It just means, you know, careless people, you know, starting forest fires just by accident. So I think that global climate change is probably a sliver. I don't know how much that really has to do with it. To be honest, we said, "Oh, it's warmer, it's drier. Well, it needs lightning. It's windier, and it's like, how you gonna verify those facts? The world is 4 billion years old. You don't know what the weather was 100 years ago, let alone 1,000 or 1,000,000 years ago. So, weather changes. That's the truth. So, you know, whether you can prove that it's worse than it was 100 years ago, I doubt it."
Yep, roger that. Yeah, I've pretty much read up same conclusions. Never really going to know, but yeah, heat, dry, lightning, of course, would be the catalyst, or not catalyst, whatever, the cause. And then carelessness on human part, for sure. You know, throwing a cigarette out the window, campfire's not put out correctly, et cetera, et cetera. But in any case, I hope they get a lid on it, and it lessens from here on out. That would be nice.
Well, another thing that people don't realize is that if they did have proof of less forest fires 100 years ago, guess what they had less of? Guess the one main ingredient that they have that they had less of in that area 100 years ago. Well, people. More people you have, the more chance they're going to do like you said. So, yeah, of course there's going to be more forest fires now because there's more people out there making fires and, you know, throwing cigarettes out the window and whatever. Doing POTA. Maybe POTA causes fires. Who knows?
Oh, wouldn't that be something? Maybe in the rare case that somebody's battery blows up or something. I don't know.
Well, you know, I got some day filling to do. I got to go up to Romeo and get some work done to the car. And so I'll be on the road. Combination of radio and All-Star. I'll be on the road probably in a half hour. Go run some errands. I need some new windshield wiper blades. Need an oil change. I don't know, where does one buy oil? Where does one buy windshield wiper blades? I mean, auto parts stores? I order them from Amazon? I don't know. It's so rare that you buy windshield wiper blades that I have no idea what they cost or what a good deal is. So I got to do a little bit of research on that.
Well, you can do Amazon, of course, and figure all that out. No big deal. Any auto parts store probably won't be the cheapest. Meijer, probably good. Walmart, probably good. You can get your oil changes there as well for a decent price and no headaches like some of the places. So, yep. All right, we'll catch you in a little bit. KG8, VSI.
Yeah, well, when I go to my dealership, they usually do it cheaper for free. I think I got a free oil change left. And it's no waiting. It's just, you know, there's no appointment needed. They have a Jiffy oil change. So, all right. I'm going to do a little research, and then I'm going to head out the door. Catch you in a bit. W8EAP.
K8VSI.
DRC.
Howdy, Jack. What you up to?
Oh, how you doing today? I'm not up tonight. I just walked outside, you know, look at the weather and all that. Is it humid? Is it a little bit out there? So I just came inside to say hello and how are you guys doing? And I heard Eric out there. I don't know how he's doing.
All right. He's doing all right, I guess. He's going to be back in a little bit. He's going to be in the mobile doing some errands. I'm sitting at my desk updating my Mac OS, my computer, and a few other things. So that's all I got.
It was always good talking to you, Greg. You know that. Roger.
Yep, good to hear from you as well. Sounded good. The radio sounds good. Sounds like you got everything lined up. And, again, that's all I got. I got to get back to this desk work. So we'll talk to you soon, KE8PSI.
Hi, Greg. Always good talking to you. Take care. KF8DRC.
KE8MLS.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't have a computer to pull up yet. I was wondering, is this the W8CMC repeater?
No, that is a Warren repeater.
right. That's the 4-4-7-50 something, I think. I always get it messed up. Who is that out there talking about having sciatica?
I don't know, I just got on the radio to find out, you know, how they doing, and that's about it. I don't know who was out there.
Yeah, I've been listening for the last half hour, but I'm having troubles with the computer. Got to do a full factory reset. That should take me the rest of the day.
Yeah, I used to have the same problem about a year ago. And it was, you're right, to rest the whole day, you gotta reset the whole computer. And I don't like that. Matter of fact, I shut it down and went out there and bought another one.
Yep, well, Windows 10, I bought this one as Windows 10 just came out. And as of October, they're not going to be providing updates for it anymore. So both of my home computers are going to have to be replaced. And I'm not looking forward to that. That's crazy. But this one, I want to do one last refresh and keep it offline and maybe just use it for FT8 and FT4 or whatever that software is for this 991A, so I can pull it up on a dashboard and put it on a computer screen and operate it that way, get a better looking scope on it. Anyway, I just wanted to tell somebody about that sciatica. I had it really bad in the Air Force after I was about 12 years in. I suffered for about 6 years until all of a sudden I lost the use of my left leg, and they did surgery, and 2 months later, I'm walking around really fine again after that surgery, but it took a while to come back from it.
Roger that. That's always like that, you know. Have a leg problem. I had a leg problem before I fell down and twisted my leg, and it took me over 2 years to get it back up the right way. Go to doctors almost like every week and do this and do that till you got it all straight. And what can you do, you know? And if you're out in the older age, then it's a different story. It's going to take a little bit more time to heal back up, and that's for sure.
Yeah, it was probably about 35, 36 years ago when I had the surgery, and the Air Force gave me a month of convalescence after the surgery, but they fixed my back by going in through the front. So they opened me up in the front and did the back. That way they don't tear up the back muscles. It was an experimental surgery. I don't know if they still do it that way or not, but I was walking again within 2 days, and they released me from the hospital in 7 and convalescent leave for a month. And then I was like, you know what, I'm going to take a month of my own leave after that before I come back. And so I took 2 months off, and I was not quite 100%, but you know, I was ready to go. Now I'm 64 years old, and everything's bad except for the original issue. They really fixed me up good.
Yeah, Roger, I know what you're saying. All right, I got back out of here for a little bit. I got to go eat a little bit. And we'll talk. Good talking to you, and you take care. This is KF8DRC.
73KF8DIC from KE8MLF, and I'm Cliff.
WAFU.
KF8, DRC, W8EAP. KC8KJO, W8EAP. KC8KJO, this is W8EAP.
KE8RUH.
Go ahead, RUH. RU.
How's it going this afternoon?
That's going pretty good. The weather's nice. The smoke is a little bit dissipated. I was heading up to the car dealer to get some work done on the vehicle, and that's about it. Still on a temporary disability, so I'll be off for another month or so. So just taking advantage of the nice day.
Yeah, I'm so glad all that smoke's gone. It's been miserable with that. Man, I don't know what they're gonna do to stop it, but they need to figure something out, that's for sure.
Well, it's not gone, but it's definitely better today. I mean, I'm not getting air quality warnings on my Amazon device anymore today. I mean, it's lower. It's right at the border of, like, safe and moderate. It's, like, right at the edge. But yeah, it was up in the 90s and 100s, and now it's down into the 50s and 60s. So it's still there, but it's way less than it was. But yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. Just tell those people in Canada and quit starting forest fires, I guess.
Yeah, it's pretty wild if you start looking at where some of those fires are. They are just so remote that I don't know that there's a good plan to put them out. I mean, there's just nothing, no one around them, and it's just burning up empty forest. So it's not like it's encroaching on population. It's just nature being nature. So I don't know, man. It's pretty wild.
Well, the conspiracy theory in me thinks that that's all done by design, but if you actually look at the statistics, 90% of those fires are humans, are result of humans, whether that's a little bit of it's actually intentional arson, but it's just, there's a lot more people. I mean, there's not like a huge population, but there are people out there. Like I said, if you can look up the stats, at about 90% of those fires are caused by people, by accident mainly. So there's people there. I mean, it's, some of them are lightning, but I don't know. They say that's a small percentage. It's 90% is human.
Well, if we're wearing our tinfoil hats here, why don't they just cloud seed? Because they're saying it's also a result of drought conditions up there. Why don't they just cloud seed and then they can get more rain?
That's because the government can't admit that it can affect the weather. I don't know how old you are, but I remember back in the 70s, there were several articles in newspapers and magazines bragging about, you know, how we could seed the clouds and make it rain and do this and do that. And that was a big deal. Now they don't talk about it anymore. But they used to talk about it all the time. But they sure as heck don't want to admit that they can affect the weather, because that would screw up the narrative.
Yeah, I'm not old enough to remember things in the 70s, but as a result of that Hurricane Helene and that flood that came through in Texas a month or so ago, there's been a lot of conversation about it as of late. So it's not just all cupcakes and rainbows right now. There's people talking about it and not happy.
Well, like I said, they absolutely can make it rain and change the weather to a point. Now, are they at the point to actually cause and direct tornadoes and hurricanes? That I kind of doubt, but you never know. I mean, that's 50 years ago. So, you know, what they knew 50 years ago. So, I mean, look at everything else 50 years ago. So I would doubt that they can direct or create hurricanes or tornadoes, but they can definitely make it rain, that's for sure. But, and again, the world is this planet's 4 billion years old. We have no idea what was going on more than like 100. We have 100-year, like, 100-year snapshot, so we have no idea what's normal.
Absolutely. But we can certainly have wild speculation. So, and I agree with you. They're probably not able to control it, but that doesn't mean there's not people out there that are trying.
Well, they can look at geographical records and tell, like, periods. Like, we went through at least 2 ice ages in Michigan. There's a good special, if you go to YouTube, it was from the History Channel from years ago, a few years ago, where it showed the history of the Great Lakes. Extremely interesting. You'll be on the edge of your seat. But we've been through multiple ice ages. In the last one, we under a 1 mile thick sheet of ice, a mile. So how long did that take to, it took like 10,000, 20,000 years to melt. It's crazy.
You know, I often wonder if they still teach that natural science stuff at school, or they've changed it so that it's feeds to a particular narrative or not, because I remember learning all kinds of stuff about that and about glaciers and the Great Lakes and all that kind of stuff. And let me tell you, I don't hear my daughter coming home and talking about it. Now, that could be because she's not interested in it or because they're not teaching it. I have no idea.
But, I mean, you'll be very interested. It's about 45 minutes long. It's on YouTube. It's the full episode, How the Great Lakes Were Formed, and it's super interesting. Anyhow, I'm at the dealership. I'll talk to you in a bit. WAEAP.
Talk to you later. K-E-A-R-U-A-P.
A Modelo Negra with a slice of lime.
IAJ.
Better.
Oh, yeah. Much
much better. He must have been trying to bounce off of Warren or what?
I think I switched to Holly a little too soon. But, what's going on? There's traffic going on right now. Usually once you hit the construction, it's smooth sailing, so something's going on.
Well, with all those reroutes, I don't doubt it. I mean, what, they got northbound all shut down and everything?
Yeah, it's 75. It's, usually, it, you know, back up when at the bottle, not once you're in the bottle, it's smooth sailing. But keep stopping, and then wait a bit, and then we'll get up to, like, 30, and then stop again, so. I don't know what's going on.
Well, how bad is 75 north? Over at the old...
Yeah, I'm not sure how far this extends. Not looking too good.
I'm talking about the Zilwaukee Bridge, isn't it? Shut down northbound, you gotta take, like, 7 different detours.
I think you just take 675 around, but, I'm not going that far north. I'm still on 60 Highway.
Oh, that's right. You're south of Milwaukee, so you don't got to worry about that.
Yep, for the most part, I don't have to. I don't get there. You know, I just have to deal with the 15 miles through Oakland County.
Yeah, I get that. I'm over here in Oakland County myself, over in Troy, trying to make it at least up to Auburn Hills so I can go through the side streets to get over to, what, Romeo?
You're going north side, not south. I guess everybody would be going north side on that one day.
Well, Big Beaver is always backed up bumper to bumper. I mean, I don't know where you're at on it. There's no easy way to get around.
Accident on the other side that maybe across the wall or something. There was a bunch of tow trucks in the construction zone loading up, and then drove a little further, and now it's backed up going the other way. So I'm thinking there's probably an accident on the other side. They pulled the tow trucks into the construction zone to finish loading up.
A couple of weeks ago, I almost became a casualty on that one. Well, luckily, I pulled into that rest stop there by Davisburg. That's when all Hades broke loose underneath the engine.
Yeah, you're telling me about that. The drain plug came out.
Yepers. Yep, apparently that went out and tightened it up at the shop. If you have to give it a couple extra love torques on it, over 3,000 miles and the vibrations and stuff, it just worked itself loose. And the only reason I didn't lose all my oil is because the recirculation pump for the oil pan was keeping it all in there, just slowly dripping out. But when I shut it off, it gravity took its toll and just dumped it everywhere.
Give it the good German torque spec, the Gutentight.
Yeah, that's what the dealer just said. They said it's all German now. How's that? It's Gutentight. Nice. And then that was like a whole 5-minute ordeal, but they still had my van for a couple days because they had to clean all the glazed donuts from underneath it. They had to get it all out of there. They had to power wash the entire undercarriage.
Yeah, I imagine they had to do some inspection to see if there's any damage, and probably a few days to get through the queue, too.
That, and then they had to upgrade or update the PCM because there was a recall on it. I couldn't remote start it through the app, so that had to be done. So they updated the PCM. And I got it back last week.
Yeah, those are kind of interesting when you think about how much software gets updated and you don't even think about it. When they bring it in for all the change, they start flashing modules. Definitely a parking lot going southbound, man. There's people getting out of their cars and everything. The motorcycle had its kickstand out and was relaxing, and a little while later, the guy just out with the door open, just standing up.
He's probably going, "What the hey?" That was yesterday. I said, I was heading towards Grand Rapids, take the normal route that we take, and we got it just right around Clarksville, Saranac area. Yeah, we went from a 2-hour drive or 2.25-hour drive, ended up being a 3-hour drive almost. So it was like, but got off and was able to do a reroute. But we got to right back.
Yeah, that'll add some time. It only gets worse with more people.
Can you see what the parking lot's all about? Is there an accident or what up there? Co-worker wants to know.
Excuse me. Sorry, the cough. Looks like there was an accident, but it's cleared. But they, it's going to take time to get going again. But, yeah, there was traffic on this side, and the tow trucks were in the construction zone. And then a little while later, that's when I started seeing cars in the parking lot.
Yeah, from everybody staring at it, they're like, what's going on? Yeah. Don't like me. Stuck in traffic, by the time you get to where it's at, there's nothing there, and all of a sudden, cars just start moving forward. It's like, why did everybody stop?
Yeah, sometimes they're phantoms like that, and sometimes they're, you know, the police have already gone, and they're came, gone, and left, and you missed it all, but it is what it is.
Oh, yeah, it's even on 94, I'm driving like, why is everybody slowing down, and then you get another mile, and it's like the traffic was steady still and waiting for a green light to turn. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go forward. The past few days of driving has just been very irritable.
Hey, anyway, yeah, I know a while ago I was stuck in a bunch of traffic, and you know, you can see the police lights up, so you're trying to get over, and finally get over, and as soon as I get up to the police, they turn our lights off and head down the road.
That's even more irritating when they do that. Okay, we're all done. See you later.
Hey, you didn't get to see good carnage or anything.
Carnage in my days. Enough to last a lifetime. KCATQ for ID. Living into that for a while.
Hey, it's good as long as you're not in it, I guess.
Oh, I'm watching my chair. That one guy T-boned me. Spun me 180 degrees. And then I ended up smacking the car that was way in the opposite direction. That was one time that screwed up my elbow. And then I had somebody rear-end me on the freeway. That turned into a trauma to medical visit. I didn't think it was a big deal. But the hospital says, nope, 50 miles an hour and over, that's trauma. I'm like, okay. That lasted a whole 4 hours. And then I decided to hit the back end of a coworker unintentionally. Because a dog walker stepped in front of a car that he swerved to avoid. And then my ABS did not work. And I plowed into him at 40 miles an hour. Caused $50,000 of damage between the two vehicles.
Well, I bet the boss is happy about that one. Yeah, luckily, I've been pretty lucky. I haven't had too bad of issues. had one car got rear-ended twice, but they were pretty minor. They had another one that I wasn't even in. And that was probably the one of the worst ones I had. And the car was parked on the side of the road at my parents' house, and they pushed it forward about a full car length, smashed up the whole rear end. They had to replace a bunch of stuff, but I was in bed sleeping. Most of the stuff I've been has been pretty minor.
Yeah, my coworker that's ahead of me, I'm talking to him on GMRS, and he called up the boss and says, yeah, my van is out of commission. Well, what happened? Some driver coming up his road, he parked his work van in the street, and it was sitting in his neighbor's yard. The whole back end was smashed in.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a drunk, just a dumb kid, but he apparently had a cast or something. That his hand slipped off the wheel and hit the car, but he didn't come by until the next day, so, you know, we don't know what happened there, but other than that, it's been just random stuff. We had one car, the same one that got rear-ended by a kid. About 2 months after we bought it, we were in St. Louis, and got hit in a storm, and pretty much anything pointing towards the sky would look like a golf ball, and a bunch of damage there, know, took out a few deer with a couple cars. But, nothing too bad.
Another co-worker was, these are E-150 vans. This is like years ago. He was coming, he lives in the north of Montana. He lives up here too. He was coming to work, coming down the freeway, and deer jumped out in front of him, right smack dab in the center, planted the deer in the middle of the engine and everything, and destroyed that end. The whole front end was totaled on it. So while I was at the collision shop, he was driving a front full-size truck. He was here, same area.
Get another deer
on the rental.
Yeah, that's what we had the first year I hit. That was when the car was in the shop for the hail damage. Going to work in the rental, going 80 miles an hour on the highway, and deer ran right in front of me, and didn't even have time to hit the brakes. Just guts all over the windshield and everything. Funny thing is, it one of my friends was with me. It was his first day at the job that we were both at the same office. I was already working there. It was his first day. And he showed up in the police car. He got copied us a ride to work.
That's in front of me, Brad's name, by the way. He was working at Port Huron when we used to service it way back when, and I was in Pontiac. We were doing the same customer, but two different sites, and I was at the main site doing the... He was doing the remote site, and he met me back in Pontiac. He pulls into the driveway, and I look into his mirror, and I look into his van, and this is an Astra van, and the whole passenger side of his windshield was just... totaled. It was just smashed. I go, what happened? He goes, I was coming back from Port Huron on the freeway on 94. A duck flew from the center of the median right in front of his van, and he tanked it.
You saying he didn't duck for the duck?
Exactly. So while that thing was being repaired, he was in a rental. He was on the freeway in a Ford Explorer rental. That's what he had as you came. He's sitting on the freeway, a big storm rolls in, lightning hits the rental. Talk about luck.
I bet that was an exciting ride.
Yeah, when you're sitting there trying to do your own business, next you know, you're... truck goes all goofy with a loud bang, and like, I got just struck by lightning. Yeah, we have some goofy luck with service cars, with service vehicles.
Guess they have fried every electronic in that car.
November 8, Indigo Alpha Julia.
KF8 CWF.